Let's get our hearts ready for the word of God. We're going to pray over the preaching moment. We're going to do it brief like we did last time. So let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, bless this preaching moment. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now with your Bibles in your hands, would you repeat after me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Simple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. If you believe you're going to be fed, make some noise this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. I went through that quickly because I'm going to take my time today. I have my bow tie on. Football season is no longer in session, so I can be here at about two hours and 30 minutes. I'll probably be by myself. But no, I'm going to take my time. But the type of word that I have would lend itself to taking its time. But we're going to do a recap. We have been in an Anyway series. And what we will do, we'll finish it up next week. So all of March has been the Anyway series. And so the first one has been Obey Anyway. And the idea of that is that we are obeying anyway, no matter what it looks like. And that obedience brings elevation and disobedience brings consequences. And then we move from there to last week, which was advance anyway. So we went from obey anyway to advance anyway. And the reason why we said that is because when you start to obey, the assumption is that things would work out well right away. But many times what we shared is that there is obstacles and opposition that come on the heels of your obedience. And you have to make up in your mind that you will advance anyway, not allowing the attacks of the enemy to stop you and make you quit. And if you're here today, or if you're logged in today, you already are in advance mode, because all of us have a reason to quit. All of us have a reason to give up. But the fact that we're still here means we are not giving into that. So that's beautiful. But now we're going to shift and go to today's message. And it is this: rest anyway. Rest anyway. And so what we're going to do, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, the English Standard Version. I'll read it. It says this: and on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. Verse 3 says, so God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Before I move to my next point that would set up the reason why I went there, there is a principle in scripture, and I've talked about it before. It's a theological principle. It's called the law of first mention. And what that means is the first time something is mentioned in scripture, it gives you all you need to know about how it carries throughout scripture. Some scholars believe in this law, some do not. It's a theological principle. But I kind of espouse to it. So whenever you see things in Genesis, it's important because it shapes how you understand a thing biblically. Because many times we understand things from our world, but when you see something in Genesis, it shapes how you should understand it. And to put it together for you, I'm having them put this up. And it says this: originally, rest was not a sign of being tired. It was a sign of being finished. Let's go backwards. There we go. Originally, rest was not a sign of being tired. It was a sign of being finished. So in our day and age, a lot of times we don't talk about resting because it means you're tired. But to God, the scripture says he neither slumbers nor does he sleep. So God did not rest because he was tired. He rested because he was finished. And many of us can choose and learn to choose rest because of the finished work of Calvary. We're going to work this out throughout the sermon, but I want you to understand that rest is not a bad thing. We live in an age where we talk about how busy, 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 busy we are, but all the busyness is not always godly. Sometimes you're just going to have to rest. And it doesn't make you less of a person, less of a Christian, because you're resting. Oh, you too saved. You don't hang out no more. You don't go to the club late no more. You too saved. I'm not too saved. I done got old. 9 o'clock, I done got tired. I don't want to go listen to rap music at 9 o'clock in the club. I'm tired. I'm in the bed. Oh, you old folk. It's not that I'm old folk. I'm starting to choose rest.
Yes.
Here's the thing. Once you've done something long enough, you realize it's just going to be the same. Now, I know y'all don't never do it, but let me talk to the club folk on TV land. But the club ain't changing. It's the same music. It's the same drinks. It's the same people. And once you wise up, you realize sometimes it's just wasting time. So you don't have to go where everybody else goes. The new age, they call it FOMO, which is F-O-M-O, which means fear of missing out. Some people do stuff just because they're afraid I'm going to miss out if I don't go. But once you get a little older, you realize I can miss out. I don't feel like it. I'm tired. I know July 4th, I love to go out and see the fireworks, but the fireworks start at 10 o'clock. And the older I get, I can see the fireworks tomorrow. I done got tired. And it's okay to rest. It's okay to be tired. And it's okay to be mentally tired, physically tired, emotionally tired. And it's okay to realize that and to just choose to rest. Not just because you're tired, but sometimes because you're finished. Let me change and shift it for a second. Some relationships have finished. And so it's okay to rest from the relationship. It's okay to rest from friendships that you realize I'm doing all the reaching out. Anytime I call or anytime we talk, I do the calling. Anytime we are together, I do the paying. Anytime we are together, I do the listening. It's okay to rest from relationships that have finished. In other words, they have stopped serving their purpose for you, and it doesn't make you less of a Christian to distance yourself and start resting. All right, let's move on. Let's give us a definition of rest. I got your attention. I'm going to try to drill it even further. Rest means to cease work or movement in order to, listen to this, relax, refresh oneself, or recover strength. Relax, refresh oneself, or recover strength. It's good for some of us to take a position of relaxation, because the life that we live is so important. It's so intense. It costs you so much. If you are a business owner, it costs you a lot to run the business. If you're just working in today's age, it costs a lot to work in today's age. Just to give you an example for me, if I work no overtime, just with my drive time, I'm at 50 hours a week without working any overtime at all. And that does not include anything I do for the church. It doesn't include being in school. It doesn't include helping to raise a family. It doesn't include being a husband. It doesn't include all the boards and the things that I'm on. In other words, I am very busy, and I'm doing things that I believe God wants me to do. But I also have to learn how to take a position of relaxation amongst all my busyness. So there are times when I'm driving to my job, I decide I'm going to put the phone down. I'm not going to worry about who's texting me. I'm not going to worry. I'm going to put it on do not disturb, because whatever crisis is happening, it's going to have to wait for my 40-minute drive. And sometimes I'm not going to put on Shirley Caesar. Sometimes I'm going to put on Watercolors, the jazz station, and I'm just going to relax. I'm going to turn my massaging seats on, and I'm going to take a position of relaxing. Now, in a few minutes, I got to go clock in. I got to work. But I'm just taking a moment for myself to recover. It's okay to do that. You don't have to be on all the time. You don't have to be on 110 all the time, and you still can get things accomplished. Sometimes mothers and women. I've seen women who have done it two different ways. I've seen women who have decided the house has gotten out of hand. I've got to clean the house up. And I've seen it where they're mad at everything as they're cleaning. They're cleaning, they're throwing stuff, they upset. Then there's the other person who decide, I'm going to make a day of it. I'm going to turn on my favorite music. I'm going to open up the windows. I'm going to light some candles. I still have to work, but I have a different mindset. I have a relaxation mindset. In other words, I'm not going to fuss at everybody moving because I'm cleaning. I'm just going to relax with it. It's about an approach. It's not that you can stop doing things. It's having a resting approach so that you can recover. Because if not, this world will drive you into the ground. All the things that you have to do, all the things that's on your plate, just in this time right now, some of you, I got to figure out how to file my taxes. I got to figure out this. I got to put this here. I got to do this. Like, oh my God, all this is going on. So you have to take a mental rest break to recover. You are not AI. You are not superhuman. You're saved, but you can wear yourself out. So just take a rest. Now, for me, I've noticed I don't have time to do some of the things that I enjoy doing, which is like the latest Netflix show, the catching up on some of that. I've been too busy to do it. But in December, I decided I'm getting caught up on some shows. This ain't spiritual. I just want to relax for a minute. I'm going to start. And so I start watching stuff. And some of them shows, they long. The one of them I started watching is like 6 seasons long. It's like, I ain't got time for that. But then I realized I enjoyed it. I'm going to make time to do something that brings me some relaxation. Because if I just look at the world and my life, I'm going to be stressed out all the time. Now, as humans, we get stressed out. Even if you're saved, you get stressed out. But what I'm trying to get you to avoid is being stressed out all the time. Every day. Because it's not good for your health. So learn how to take some relaxation. Everything doesn't have to be so important. You don't have to always turn on Christian music. You don't have to always turn on a television that's going to be uplifting. You don't have to always shut off a show just because they cussed in it, because in that case, you couldn't watch nothing. Sometimes you just got to realize this is what I need for the moment. Let me give you an example. Some of y'all like comedy. But in today's comedy, they're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. But sometimes it's okay because you need a laugh. Yeah. You ain't so, your salvation is not so fragile that if Kevin Hart run off a few cuss words, you're going to lose your mind. Amen. If you need to laugh, take some time to laugh. Now, you can't take a daily diet of that every single day, all the time. It's just like dessert. Dessert is good in its place. When you had a good meal, nothing like good dessert. You can't eat dessert 24/7 because it won't be good for you. But it's okay to have something for yourself. And I have to teach Christians this because sometimes we feel like we are unsaved if we start relaxing. All right, and nothing could be further from the truth. Let me give you 4 things to consider. These are things off the top of my head. I'm doing it in somewhat acronym form, so go ahead and pull it up. These 4 things. Regroup. R is for regroup. Sometimes the reason why you need to rest is just to regroup. All right, let me just be honest and patient. Sometimes you need some time to take them old braids out of your head that's been itching you forever. And it's going, oh, I can't because I'm going to have to sit in the chair for so many hours. You need that sitting in the chair time where somebody else is rubbing your head, washing your head, taking care of you. Do you know how good it feels sometimes just to switch up your hairdo, just to get a brand new haircut? But it means you're going to have to carve out time for yourself. And many of us are not good at it because we do for so many other people. We forget to do for ourselves. And that is ungodly, not to take care of yourself in the process. So if you need to, get your hair done. If you want to, get your car washed. Do something, especially in this season when the weather starts breaking and the sun starts shining. Do you know how it just lifts your spirit? Sometimes just get out and go outside for no reason other than you just need a break. Leave your phone at home for a few seconds and walk around the block. Walk out in the sunshine. Take a moment. Breathe in the air. All this ain't deep and spiritual, but it's just normal stuff that'll help you stay alive. That'll keep your mind intact, because even though you're saved doesn't mean you won't lose your mind in all the hell we got to go through. So learn how to take some stuff to yourself. The other day, I was hearing a bunch of people talking about Paradise, Paradise, Paradise. It's this show on Hulu. Well, I don't have time to watch Paradise. And then what I realized, I'm going to make time. It's 8 shows, and I watched them all last week. I figured out a way to enjoy myself. I'm going to do something for myself, because I don't always do something for myself all the time. But sometimes you can't wait till vacation to start resting. You got to make a way to rest. All right, so regroup. And here's another thing that it does. It energizes you. You need, you're going to have things in life that drain you, but you're also going to have things that energize you. For example, every Sunday we have what do you call those batteries that are recycled? We have these recyclable batteries. And so we use them every Sunday, and then we put them back and they charge until the next time we use them again, and they're ready to go. Just like these batteries need charge and your phone need charge, you need charge. So sometimes you got to regroup, and then you need something that's going to energize you. Take inventory. What drains you? Who drains you? And sometimes you can't get away from those people. Maybe it's your child. Maybe it's your 5-year-old baby. You can't get away from that. But what else energizes you? When you put the baby to rest, what can you do to energize yourself? If you have people on your job that are always negative when you go to lunch, maybe switch lunch tables and go where somebody's positive. Find the things that energize you and plug into them. Some of y'all are just as bad as your phones. You keep your phones on low percentage. They're about to die every 5 minutes. But your spirit is about to die. Your emotions are about to die. You got to stop and recharge, regroup, energize. And here's another one. Here's the S, sacrifice. Go ahead and put that up, sacrifice. Here's what I want you to understand about this. When you have high-level sacrifice, you can't have low-level rest. In other words, when you're called to sacrifice on a high level and you rest on a low level, what's going to happen is you're going to wear yourself out trying to do things for people, and many times trying to do things for God. Many of us have callings on our life, and it causes us to be in with people, whether it's a job like a pastor or social work or a mechanic or doing people's hair. You got to deal with people. And anytime you're dealing with a lot of people, you're dealing with a lot of spirits. People aren't just people. People carry spirits. And when you're moving and dealing with a lot of people, so just give you an example. In my case, I'm a team leader on my job. I have about 12 people on my team. So I lead at my job, and then I have to deal with people on the job, and I have to deal with the foremans and all of that. I got emails. My job email is like 1,000 emails in just my job email alone. Then I switch, and then I'm a pastor, and I'm dealing with a church, and I'm dealing with all that stuff. Then I'm a community leader. So I'm dealing with people all the time. But then when you just go to Payless to buy some Twinkies, you're dealing with people. And the person in the checkout line can give you an attitude. Then I'm driving up and down the highway. I'm dealing with a bunch of cars, and people on the road can make you mad. I will go crazy if I don't figure out how to rest, because I'm dealing with too many people and too many spirits. And many of you are dealing with the same thing. When we went on a vacation just a couple of weeks ago, I felt sorry for my wife, because we were on a plane that was filled with, we were heading from Atlanta to Cancun, and it was filled with a bunch of crying babies on that plane. And I thought about my wife, who has a daycare and deals with babies, and here she is trying to rest and got to hear babies crying. I pray for her. I was like, babe, I was praying to God, God, please bless my baby to get some rest. Because you have certain jobs that you're called to, and it's hard to sometimes get rest even when you're trying to, but you have to make it a priority. You have to make rest a priority. All right, here's another thing to pull up. So we have regroup, we have energize, we have sacrifice, and here's the thing, time. We have to understand this. You do not get an abundance of time. So this is what most of us say, I'll rest later. But sometimes later never comes. Oh, I'll go on a trip later. I can't do it right now. Here's the thing. Many times if you don't do it, it won't get done. So you have to make time to rest now, because this is what you don't want to happen. If you don't make time to rest, life will force you to rest. And when life forces you to rest, usually it's not very good. Sometimes people are forced to rest because they're laying in the hospital in a coma because they've done too much. Don't let life force you to rest. Choose and make time for your own personal rest. All right, now that was just off the top of my head that I came up with. Now let's shift to this. Four biblical things to know about rest. Now I'm going to take you to scripture so that you know I'm not just talking off the out the side of my neck. So number one, and I see this up there, it is a command. Rest is actually a command. So we have to think about it. Sometimes we feel like we're dishonoring God if we rest, if we're not doing stuff. Now, because of my life, sometimes I wonder, do I have a touch of ADHD? Because when I actually sit down, I feel like I got to be doing something. And sometimes when you try to rest, you're like, oh, I forgot. I didn't email so-and-so. I have to force myself, Andre, just stop. Just stop and rest for a moment. But then also, I have to realize I could go to the other side and get lazy. The Bible talks about laziness. So there's a balance. You got to know when to rest and when to get up. Sometimes we forget we need God for everything. We need God to not be lazy, and we need God to rest. We need God for everything. When you have people who can go through a life without God, you must be a superhuman person, because I need God for everything. So learn how to rest and choose rest, because it is a command. Let's look at how it was laid out in Exodus 34:21. Go ahead and read that, Mother.
6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. In plowing time and in harvest, you shall rest.
So setting it up, he told them, listen, you're going to work. You're going to work for 6 days, but on the seventh day, you're going to chill. You're going to take a rest in the plowing and in the harvest. This is what we need to understand. In the seed time, that is a lot of work, but harvest is work too. Many of us don't realize the blessings that we pray for, many times it's attached with a lot of work. God, I want a new job. But when God gives you a new job, it has more requirements. So it costs more. So you have to learn how to rest in the down times as well as the up times, in the working times as well as the blessing times. Because in this life, everything costs you something. So he commanded them, you need to make sure you rest as well. So this is where we get the Sabbath and how we end up with having Saturday. So our weekend is based on this idea of the Sabbath. But let's be honest, what goes on in our life, we work Monday through Friday, and Saturday is when everybody is having their stuff. The birthday party is on Saturday. This is on Saturday. This get-together is on Saturday. And you want to go to everything, but sometimes you need to stay in on Saturday and do nothing and really rest. I've learned that, and it's been good for me, because we have a 2-day weekend, but I really don't get 2 days. Sunday is not a day of resting for me, because I'm actually working and then I have to go to work. I'm doing my pastoral duty and then I have to go to work. So I really don't have Sunday. Friday night I'm off, but there's not a whole lot going on Friday night. So really, Saturday is my only day to rest. And because I'm pastor, I'm thinking, I need to go here. I need to do this. This person had a funeral, and oh, they were good to me. I need to run to this funeral. But the older I get, I believe it. You love me. I'm staying in the bed. I ain't showing up at the funeral. It's not because that person wasn't important to me. I just realized I'm going to go crazy if I don't grab me some rest. And sometimes in my mind, I have all these things I want to do on Saturday. But sometimes what I end up doing is just going to bed and then getting up and going back to bed. Lady Devon was teasing me because I'll be taking Saturday naps. She was like, you'll get up at 9:30 and go back to sleep at 11:30. Yes, I'm rested. I got up because you was cooking bacon and biscuits. I ate the bacon and biscuits and I'm going back to sleep. Because I'm trying to rejuvenate myself so I don't go crazy. So you have to learn how to, and many of our lives are carved out in such a way, if we don't choose rest, we will never get it.
Right.
All right, so let's move on to Deuteronomy 5, 12 to 14.
Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you.
Let's keep going.
You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work.
All right, verse 14.
But the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work.
He said, nobody should be working. This is a day for the Lord. And many times when we are doing things for God, we think it must cost us something. So let me talk about myself. When I first got saved and rededicated, I remember going to prayer and having prayer time. And I thought I had to be loud and boisterous in my prayer. And I mean, I would be going off saying all kinds of prayers. But the older I got, I realized God can hear me whether I'm quiet or loud. I ain't got to yell to pray. So I just relax a little and start praying. And sometimes I'm saying, God bless this. God touch this. God fix that. But it used to be, Father, in your word, you said no weapon formed against us shall prosper. So God, I need you to touch every atom, every molecule. I was wearing myself out. So sometimes I say, God, you know the situation. Lately, I've been doing something that's been very interesting. I'll get a detailed prayer request on my phone. And I look at it, and the person lays out everything that's going on. I hold my phone up to God and say, God, you know what is going on. God, I need you to touch and move on this behalf. And put the phone back in my pocket. Well, Pastor, you ain't prayed. No, yes, I prayed. I prayed in faith because when the person laid out the prayer request, God heard them then. I'm just coming in agreement with them. I'm learning it doesn't take a whole lot to live for God. We made it a whole lot harder than what it has to be. But if you have power in your words, the Bible says you can speak to the mountain and command the mountain to go. You ain't got to dance around the mountain. You ain't got to pour oil on the mountain. You ain't got to fast over the mountain. If you know and understand the power of your words, you can speak to a thing. And it can happen. So you have to learn these processes. All right, let's move right along. This is the last verse of that. It says what?
This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your oxen and donkeys, and other livestock, and any foreigners living among you. All your male and female servants must rest as you do.
Just, he said, everybody on that day, take a rest. For them, it was sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. That was their 24-hour rest period. But you know what this also did? It gave the land some rest. So when you get the donkeys off of the land and you get the mules off the land and you get the people off the land, it actually gives the land time to rest. Have you ever traveled on a holiday and seen how peaceful it is because it's not that many cars, stores are closed? Sometimes it gives the land rest if everybody would just chill for a moment. And do you know what God was trying to do when he allowed the pandemic? He was trying to force us to rest. But as soon as we pulled the mask off, we then got right back into the same stuff. But really, it was a forced rest. Some people's relationships, they found out, I'm with the wrong person because now I got time with them. I don't even like you, and you don't even like me. And after the pandemic, they can move on and get somebody. But when you only see somebody every now and then, you think you're in love until you spend some real time and rest with folks. You find out, I don't even like you. I found out the opposite. I still like my wife because we was together for a change. And I was like, I actually still like this woman. It's okay. I can go on a little while longer. So sometimes rest forces things to happen. And God had instituted it, but it's gotten out of order. Now, here's a wonderful thing a wonderful thing to understand. If you understand how Satan works, he doesn't always do things so outwardly. Yes, he attacks us outwardly, but he really likes to sneak things in. And one of the things he will sneak in busyness to trap you up. Because you don't think of it, I'm not doing anything bad. I'm not smoking dope. I'm not selling dope. I'm not at the bar all the time. I'm just here, there, everywhere. But sometimes that here, there, and everywhere is Satan trying to trap you up. So learn how to take some rest. Another thing, every time they offer overtime, you don't have to say yes. What are you going to do with the money anyway? One thing that I've learned with me, that once I started learning how to work on a 40-hour, I mean live off of a 40-hour check, I realized if I get the overtime, it's okay, but I don't really need it. So I've got to the place where they have to beg me to work over. The other day, a boss that I used to work with, he texted me and he said, would you please work over? I said, nope, I'm going home. I actually sent him the Shannon Sharp meme where he's shaking his head like this. And he's like, come on, Andre, because he know I do good work. But I'm going home. I had just come off a vacation, so I could have actually worked over. But I said, no, I'm going home to rest. Because after vacation, you need a rest from your rest. So I went home. Could I use the extra money? Yes. But sometimes you got to stop chasing money and start chasing rest and let the money chase you. All right. And here's point number two. Not only is it a command, it is a gift. Rest is actually a gift. Look at Exodus 33:14.
The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest.
What? My presence will go with you and I'm going to drop healing out of the sky. I'm going to drop millions out of the sky. No, he said, I'm going to give you rest. It's a gift from God. Let's look at Psalms 127:2.
It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones.
Let me talk about this. Some of y'all can't even sleep. All your insomnia is not the devil. Some of it is just you. You put too much on your plate. You put too much in your mind. And when it's time to lay down, your head won't turn off. And the scripture says it does you no good to do all this working and then you can't rest because he gives his beloved sleep. So the idea is sometimes you got to start unloading. I heard a therapist say it this way. It's like computers. When computers have too many windows open, it starts slowing down the computer. You got to close some of the windows. Some of y'all, you have too many windows in your head open, and you got to close some of those windows. Let me tell you something that's hard to admit as a pastor, but I'm trying to help you and be very transparent. There was a young lady who got sick over the last week, and she ended up passing, and I seen a bunch of people posting about it and about her. I said a prayer, but I didn't read the full story. Why? Because I've dealt with so much grief, I can't read that. God, either you're going to deliver her or you're not. I'm going to say a prayer. I'm not being cold-hearted, but I've learned I cannot take on all the world's problems. I can't read every negative thing because it sins and it triggers me in places that I can't go right now. So I've learned, and this is something my therapist told me face to face. She said, you have a savior complex. In other words, you being a pastor, you always feel like you have to jump in and save. Sometimes you can't save everybody and be one person. Another thing I've had to do, I'm very political and I stay up with political things, but based on who got in office, I cannot listen to MSNBC and CNN and pay attention to everything that has happened because it drives me to anxiety and I don't have time for that. So I don't know all of the current events like I used to because I'm protecting my peace. I'm trying to rest my mind. We've been through too much hell and I cannot allow myself to be set back. Now, sometimes does it make me feel like a bad pastor because all you did was to say a prayer and the next thing you know, she passed away. But thousands of people were praying. I can't take on every problem. I I've got enough taking on my problems and the problems of this church. So I'm choosing. Now, I pray about it, but sometimes God tells me, put the phone down. Don't read that. I'll see, especially if I see a cop has shot another black person in the street and here's the video. Sometimes you can't watch the video because it takes you in places that you don't want to go. You have to know and take inventory of yourself and know when you have too much. It's just like when you ate too much and you got to push yourself away from the plate. You got that full feeling. Sometimes, like Thanksgiving, you're so happy to get to Thanksgiving dinner, but you get full quick. And when you get full quick and you try to stuff extra stuff, it's not good for you. So sometimes you just got to push yourself back from stuff. You may love Real Housewives of Atlanta, but if your marriage is going up and down, you may not need to rest with Real Housewives of Atlanta and all that cattiness and all that foolishness, because it may put you in a place you don't need to go. Make wise decisions. Now, this word used the word anxious. I'm going to come back to that later. So let's keep on going. Let's look at what Matthew 11:28 says.
Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.
The scripture doesn't say if you're saved, you're never going to get wearied and burdened. But it says if you do, just come to me and I will give you rest. It's a gift. Read.
Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul.
Oh, see, this is what we forget. Sometimes we think rest is just for our body. But many times rest is for our souls. Our soul is our will, our mind, our emotion. It's where we make choices, where we make decisions. If you will Google it and just Google how many decisions the average human makes every single day, you would be surprised at how much your brain has to go through. So your soul needs rest. All right. And did you read the last part of that?
For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
All right. That leads us to number three. It is a tool. So first we have, it is a command, it is a gift, but rest is a tool, which I'm trying to prove to you. And so I want you to put this up. This is called the lumberjack story. So this will help us, something I read years ago and I just was reacquainted with. So there were two lumberjacks. There was a young lumberjack and an old young lumberjack. And the young lumberjack challenged the old lumberjack to a tree cutting contest. And so the old lumberjack accepted it and said yes. And so the story goes, the young lumberjack began to work the entire time chopping down trees. He was going at it, and the old lumberjack kept taking breaks. He would chop down a few trees, take a break. Chop down a few trees, take a break. This young lumberjack did not take a break at all and just was plowing through it, going. When the time was up, they counted who chopped the most trees, and the old lumberjack had chopped down the most trees, significantly more. So the young lumberjack was confused, said, how in the world could you chop down more than me? Because I watched you. You were taking breaks. I didn't take one break. I went all the way through. I worked basically from sunup and sundown, and you took several breaks. And the old lumberjack said, well, you didn't understand is every break I stopped and sharpened my saw. Every time I rested, I was also sharpening my saw. And so when I got back up, I was able to do more with less, because I took the time to rest.
Yes.
Now, this is a fictitious story, but it shows you old wisdom versus young wisdom. And what the old man understood is that while I'm resting, I'm not doing nothing, but I'm actually sharpening my saw. I'm using rest as a tool. I'm regrouping and I'm getting better. I'm not resting to be lazy. I'm resting to get better. I'm resting so I can be more productive. I'm resting so I can do more with less. There's an old saying, don't work harder, but work smarter. Sometimes when you're young, you think it's all about hard work and fast, 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 and go, 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 and grind, grind, grind. And some of those people, when they get older, they realize, yes, I built a great business, but my kids don't really know me. My grandkids don't know me. I didn't spend any time. So you learn when you get older, if I could have done it all over again, I would take more rest. I would take more time. I would spend more time. I would take more time for myself. I love y'all, but stop leaving PTO days on the table. Those are paid days for you. Stop giving them company paid days. Take some days off and sharpen your saw. Read a book. Do something that will benefit you. I was listening to Kevin on stage on The Breakfast Club, and he talked about how he built his comedian business while he was working his 9-to-5. But he learned how to. He was filming videos on his breaks at work. Yes, he was working, but what he was doing, he was taking his rest time and making the most of his rest time to the point where his money made so much for him, he no longer had to have a 9-to-5. And now he's living in L.A., and now BET has selected some of his stuff, and now he's making money, real money. If you're on The Breakfast Club, you're making money, but he did it the right way. You have to learn how God will bless you, but sometimes he will bless you with doing less, not doing a whole bunch more. All right, let's keep on going. Let's look at Mark 6, 30, 31. This is Jesus' words.
The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught.
So Jesus had sent out the apostles. He had sent out 72 at one time. Another time he sent out 70. They had great ministry success. Demons were cast out. People were healed. They had taught the gospel. I believe even people had gotten baptized into the kingdom. So they had a whole lot of success. So when they told Jesus the success they had, it's interesting what Jesus would say next. You would think he would say, great for all the success. Look at what he says next. Look at the next verse.
And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat.
He didn't even celebrate all they did. The first thing he said is come and rest a while. When you are working for God and you're dealing with a bunch of spirits and you're going through a bunch of stuff, one of the best things you can do is come and rest a while. It said they didn't even have leisure to eat. Have some of y'all been so busy you forgot to eat? And then you eating on the go all the time, and then that's unhealthy. Sometimes you just got to pause and eat. You got to rest and eat. Sometimes you got to just take a lunch. I don't have time to meal prep. Many times when you are having a restful mindset, you lose weight because you're not eating so much on the go. You're not eating at weird times. You have a more routine, structured day. And it's very hard for us who are busy people to structure our life with routine, me included. But God is telling me to tell all of us this. We're going to have to choose rest for our health in the future. It's not an option. We are going to have to choose it. Now, that leads me to number 4. And the reason why I say that, it is a decision. What I'm saying now, rest is a decision. You're going to have to choose to rest. I said I'm going to come back to the anxiousness, and let me bring that up now. So one of the things that I've noticed with dealing with people here at Deliverance Temple. Now, normally, I don't share openly what people are dealing with, but there's so many of it that's going on, specifically with our women, that I am going to say it openly. One thing I've learned is you can be saved and deal with high-level anxiety at the same time. We have a lot of people here who are strong Christians, but they're filled with anxiety. And so I'm learning, and not just this church, I'm learning it is one of the newer attacks of the enemy to cause us to be so anxious. So, and here's the reason why it's attack from the enemy, because we are anxious about real things. I'm not talking about fear. Fear can sometimes be false evidence appearing real. I'm not talking about false things. I'm talking about real things that make us anxious. Let me give you an example that I had to check my own self in. So as we were leaving Mexico, I had scheduled a pickup for us at 5:20 a.m. for us to go back to the airport. I had already had it paid for and scheduled, and it didn't show up. So I was quite frustrated and mad because, number one, we're up early in the morning and our ride is not here. And then I'm checking with the people that I booked with and nobody's open. So now I'm frustrated. And then I'm thinking, well, maybe let me see if I can try Uber. But then I'm thinking, wait a second. We're in the Trump era and Mexico and America, not on the best terms. People have been deported. I don't really know how this is. And so I don't know if I want to trust an Uber. And so now I'm anxious because it's not just me. It's me, my wife, and kids. And I'm thinking, I got to get us back to the airport. And then in my mind, I've already thought about how we missed the flight. We're stuck in Mexico. What we going to do? It's amazing what your mind will do. Now, this is a real situation, but my mind has played stuff so far out. I haven't even got a chance to fix the problem. So I physically distance myself from my wife and kids so I can get some better internet. And I just calm myself down. It's like, we're going to figure this out. And so the Uber comes. But while the Uber has come, I'm sitting in the front seat with the Uber. And I'm thinking, if he starts pulling in a direction, I don't know. How do I grab the wheel? How am I going to have to elbow him in the throat? I mean, I'm thinking all of these things. I'm watching the signs, and the signs are in Spanish, and I'm trying to figure out signs, and one sign said Aeropuerto, and he turned that way. I said, "Whoa, it looks like he's taking us toward the airport." And then I just heard this in my spirit, Andre, you watch too many movies. Because I was thinking like Taken, what am I going to have to do? I'm thinking about all of these things that I'm going to have to do. But what was really going on is my anxiety was high. Now, it doesn't make me a bad person, but you have to realize that, like the old Ghetto Boy song, your mind will play tricks on you. Your mind will create scenarios that never will happen. And you don't want to be underprepared. Now, as a man with a family, you can never be underprepared. So it's okay for me to think those things, but you cannot get stuck in anxious patterns of thinking. In your mind, the plane has crashed before you ever got on it. In your mind, you cannot drive on the highway because the car is going to blow up before you ever get started. When I decided to get an electric vehicle, I heard, electric vehicles catch on fire and they blow up. Oh my God. Also, another thing happened. As we were leaving on our vacation, my hot water heater was going out and it was starting to leak. Another thought that I had, what happens if it leaks and it somehow messes up my electric car? All these things that you're thinking, so you take certain precautions, but it just made me back up a little and realize sometimes we're just too anxious. Does that make us bad? No, but we have to yield that to God. And that's why we need rest. Because if we don't rest, our minds will take us in places that we don't have time to go. Our minds will stress us out. So, Pastor, what should we do for it? If it's high level, get some medication. It don't make you a bad person if you need some medication to calm yourself down. Oh, just pray over it. Well, everybody can't pray over stuff. Some people need prayer. And they need medicine. Do you need a therapist? Get a therapist. Don't be so deep that you can't do the normal things that you need to lower your level of anxiety. So ask yourself, what are you anxious about? What makes you anxious? Ask yourself, what am I dreading that has never happened yet? What am I dealing with? All right, here's another example. And you just have to work with what works for you. So my goddaughter, she made a big like a rug, a throw cover of me and my father, pictures of me and my father. It was a beautiful gift. But for several months after his death, I couldn't look at it because it didn't bring me peace. It brought me that anxiousness. It brought me those questions like, God, why? Yeah, I'm over it, but why? It didn't have to happen. You go through those things. But now I have it in my office because I've grown to where now I can see it. So if me seeing it before, if I would have tried to force myself, it would have damaged my anxiety. So sometimes you just got to do stuff when you're ready. And if you're not ready, it's okay. You're not ready. If you're not ready to talk about it, you do have to talk about it, but you don't have to talk about it with everybody. I will never forget going to another person's funeral, another bishop in town. The funeral was at Truvine. And I walked to the funeral to pay my respects, and it was my plan to stay throughout the funeral. As I passed the casket, I spoke to someone, and they was like, "Oh, by the way, I'm sorry about your dad." Then I sat down and I looked and I seen everybody in the front row in purple. And I seen the person in the casket with a bishop collar. And it started messing me up because it put me right back into place. In my mind, I was planning on paying my respects, but one comment just messed me up. So what did I do? Did I just sit and embarrass? No, I got up and I left. And guess what? I went to bed. I was all dressed in my suit, but I needed to lay down because it was playing tricks with my mind. And after I rested and I got up, I was okay. Do whatever you got to do, but choose rest for your own sake. Don't let these folks stress you out. Sometimes they're doing it accidentally. Everybody's not doing it purposefully. Sometimes people are doing, they don't mean no harm, but you have to know when you've had enough. Amen. And it's okay to take a step back. Uh-oh, here we go. For those of you who don't struggle with alcohol, it's okay to have a glass of wine. For those of you who don't struggle with it, if you do, that's not what you need to do. It will exacerbate your problem. You have to know you. You have to know your own limitations. You got to know where you're strong, where you're weak. Samson was a great man, but he did not understand his limitations. It messed him up. Once you know your limitations, you know how to rest and enjoy. What it'll do, it'll put you on another level. All right, that's why some people fold and some people get stronger, wiser, and better because they know how to rest. All right, so let's read this. Philippians 4, 6 through 7.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
This is a hard statement. Don't be anxious about anything, but what it's saying, don't be anxious without praying. So when I heard that in my spirit, that you watch too many movies, Andre, I also heard you thought all this stuff and you haven't said one prayer. I thought all this stuff of what I need to do, and all I really need to do is say, God, help me and my family to get to the airport and not miss the flight. And by the time I said that prayer, we was 2 minutes away. I wasted a lot of time when I could have just asked God. It's not that asking God is not going to make you anxious, but this is what happens is many times God is our last resort instead of our first resort. So if you're going to be anxious, it says don't be anxious about anything that you haven't at least prayed about. At least put some prayer on it and then let the peace of God rule in your heart. And many of us, we want the peace without offering the prayer. All right. And here's the thing that I've learned. If you're thinking about it anyway, what's it going to cost to turn that thought into a prayer? If you were, I wonder, I worry, what would it cost to take that wonder and worry and turn it into a prayer? Oh, I wonder what my son's doing in college. I wonder what my girl's doing in college. What would it cost to take that and say, God, protect them in college. God, touch them. What would it take to turn the worry into a prayer? It would take literally seconds. So this is what we need to learn. And listen, I'm saying it, all of us need to learn this. All right, let's read some more.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
All right, let's go to Hebrews 4, 1 through 6.
Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it.
Now, very few times does the Bible tell us to fear. Tells us to fear God or respect God. But here it says, let us fear that we don't enter into the rest. So this is the reason why I'm preaching this like this, is because there is a possibility you will miss out on the rest. It's available to you, but it's a possibility you'll miss out. And what you will take yourself through missing out on the rest that God has available to you is not going to be worth it. So make it a priority that you are going to choose rest. And when we say that, we're talking mainly about a mindset of rest, not necessarily just sitting down somewhere, but having a mindset that says, I'm not going to do too much, go too much. I'm going to start de-stressing myself, even learning things that back in the day they would say, oh, that's demonic. But some of that stuff is not demonic. Learning how to take breaths, take deep breaths, learning how to count to 10. Oh, that's the devil's work. Oh, that's no, sometimes you need that. Amen. For me, who I can be calm one day and one moment and fly off the handle the next, I've learned I need to pace myself. Sometimes I need a woosah moment. Yeah, I'm still saved, but if I don't take the woosah moment, I'll be saved and cussing. Let me calm down. And Devin used to say it all the time, calm down. And in the middle of her telling me calm down, it was making me more mad. But I had to learn she was right. Sometimes you just got to calm down. And many times, this old saying, sometimes we're making a mountain out of a molehill. Sometimes it's not as bad as we're making it out to be. So we just have to, a mindset of rest. God got this. Or how about this? God, you didn't bring me this far to leave me. Oh, God, I don't understand it, but God, you'll neither leave me nor will you forsake me. Or how about this? Oh, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Oh, you make me to lie down in green pastures. Or what about surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What about no weapon formed against me shall prosper? Sometimes we don't even take enough time to even quote the word. Take some time and allow the word that's in you to woosah. It's a mindset. All right, let's look at verse 2. I felt something right there just doing that. Verse 2.
For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened.
Uh-oh, he's talking about the children of Israel. I won't give you a whole bunch of background. You'll have to figure it out on yourself. But Hebrews 6 is talking about, Hebrews 4 is talking about. But it says they heard the good news, but it wasn't mixed with faith. So really what rest really is about, it's really faith. Because it takes faith to really rest. Last week we talked about faith without works is dead. Yes, in order to advance, you need faith. But in order to rest, you also need faith. Because this age tells you grind, 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 go, 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 do, do, do. Sometimes you need to rest, rest, rest. And while you're resting, just try it. Once you really try to rest, you'll find out how hard it is because it really takes faith to rest. You know what it really takes faith to do in this age is to turn your phone off. Because there's so much going on our phone. I've tried it. I turned my phone off, set it down. 2 minutes later, I'm picking it up and realize, oh, I turned it off and got to put it back down. And I've told you, I've actually had to work with driving down the road and picking up my phone. Had to put my phone down. I had to make myself, because it takes faith to get out of some of these habits that we've been in. And to be honest, if you study Apple and Android, if you study these apps, they built them to keep your attention. They are made, they have studied to find out your attention span. Like those notifications on Facebook, those are designed to get you in there. Have you ever gone to Facebook for one thing and an hour later you forgot what you went there for? So-and-so, do you know who so-and-so? I don't know who so-and-so is. Let me look her name up. And before I get to looking the name, I'll just scroll. It's designed to do that. So taking rest and pulling back from stuff, it really takes a lot of faith. All right, number 3.
For we who have believed enter that rest, as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation. From the foundation of the world.
One of the worst things that can be said of you is the rest that God prepared, he changed his mind, and I swear you'll never enter in. So God had promised the people the promised land and the rest, but they let everything distract them. The moment they got to the Red Sea, they lied and said, we were better off in Egypt. You are a slave in Egypt. Now you're free with millions of gold and stuff. But the moment they got into a new trial, they said, you brought us out here to die. And every step of the way when God was trying to bring them into something new, they kept looking at the old. Many times, God gets so upset with us because all he's trying to do is get us to rest and we buck, kicking, and screaming. And the worst thing that can happen is God change his mind on the rest that he promised. In other words, last week I said, your struggle is over. If God has promised your struggle is over, it's the horrible thing for God to turn around and say, I'm just going to let him struggle. Because he had planned to shut your struggle off, but you just won't rest. All right, let's keep on going. Almost finished.
For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works.
So we already read about that. So God chose to rest. So there's no excuse for us not to read 5 and 6.
And again, in this passage, he said, they shall not enter my rest.
All right. Verse 6.
Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience.
So this takes us all the way back to our obey anyway. So this is the premise. It says some people failed to enter it because he shut them off. But he didn't shut everybody off. There are other people who were allowed to still go into the promised land. And this is what I'm saying to you, Deliverance Temple, that there are going to be some doors closed for some Christian folk because they won't do what I'm talking about right now. But don't let that be us. Let us make up in our mind we are going to decide to rest. We are going to lighten the load off of our shoulders. We have been through too much hell to add extra stress on top of ourselves. We are going to choose to rest. Oh, well, I'm turning 58 this year, but I'm not doing anything. Why? Why are you not celebrating yourself? Well, I don't want nobody to do. Stop that foolishness. Celebrate yourself. Let somebody celebrate yourself. Stop giving gifts back. Open your hand. Let God bless you. Stop fighting this thing. This is your season to have something. But sometimes we have been beat down so hard, we don't even know how to see a good thing when we can see it. And this man, the man at the Estee Lauder counter, he just keep flirting with me. He just want to sell. Maybe he wants to sell, but maybe he like you. If you single and you don't got nobody, check it out. Well, I'm trying to live safe. Yes, you're trying to live safe, but you're secretly lonely. God may be opening up a door for you. Stop shutting stuff down. In other words, put your head on a swivel and start looking. God probably trying to bless me. I'm looking around. God trying to bless me. There's an old story, and I'll say it again, try to do it real fast. It's a story about the optimist and the pessimist. There's an optimist and a pessimist, and they were given a gift, and it was a barn filled with a whole bunch of manure. And the pessimist said, this is awful. I don't know who would give us a gift like that. But the optimist jumped up and down and said, oh, it's got to be a pony somewhere. It's got to be a pony somewhere. In other words, look at the glass not half empty, but half full. Start expecting God to bless you and start resting. I don't have to make it happen. God will do it for me because what is for me, it is for me. To speed it up, I'll read verses 9 through 11. Then I'll let you out of here with a conclusion and a few more things. Verse 9 through 11 says, so there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. And we are the people of God. Verse 10. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God as the people of Israel did, we will fail. So we are trying to enter into that rest. Actually, I think I skipped one verse. Yeah, let's go back to the verse I skipped. I think verse 10. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. In other words, taking the same mindset that he had, not just because we're tired, but because we're finished. Listen, there are some things you've done all you can do. If you ask somebody to forgive you and they choose not to forgive you, you ain't got to keep kissing up under them. You done your part. You just rest. Either they going to accept it or not. I ain't about to add no more extra stress to myself. I'm picking my life up and I'm moving forward. All right, let's go to the conclusion. Favorite part of the message. Here he is in our conclusion. We're putting all of these together. Go ahead and bring it up. In obeying and advancing, we can't forget resting, because rest is a command that we are called to obey, and it's a tool that helps us advance. So here's our confession. We can stand to our feet for the confession. I took my time because I feel this so strong. I feel this so strong that there are many of you who just need to take a mindset of rest. So let's do this. I'm going to read it first and then we'll confess it together. Father, help me to resist the need to grind and have enough faith to rest. Help me overcome my anxieties with your rest and bring me victories that allow me to rest. Let's do this together. Father, help me to resist the need to grind and have enough faith to rest. Help me overcome my anxieties with your rest, with your rest, and bring me victories that allow me to rest, that allow me to rest. Now let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father God, I'm giving the people what you've given me, and I believe you're moving us into a season that you're really trying to bless us. But God, we're going to have to take this mindset of rest in everything we do. Not laziness, but resting your way. And know that you, if you brought us this far, and if you brought us to it, you'll bring us through it. So we're trusting in your hand more than our works. We're even trusting in your hand more than our prayers, more than our giving. We are trusting in the finished work of Calvary and the grace of God, and the fact that goodness and mercy is following us and propelling us to our next destination. And our next blessing will come through our rest. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And let the people say, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Be blessed and rest.